Prices rose again last month.
President Biden says the new inflation report shows his administration has, quote, more to do to lower costs for hardworking families. Consumer prices rose 3.5% in March compared to a year ago. President Biden acknowledging prices are still too high for housing and groceries. Still, the president trying to find some bright spots, saying there's progress when it comes to rising wages, higher incomes, and low unemployment. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
On Tuesday, Arizona Supreme Court did away with a woman's right to choose. On Wednesday, Republicans running the state's legislature wasted no time shutting down any discussion of repealing the newly revived law from 1864. Almost 2 years ago, Radindu Rajchowdhury threw two Molotov cocktails into the Madison, Wisconsin office of an anti-abortion group. There was nobody there at the time. On Wednesday, he was sentenced to 7 years in federal prison. This is ABC News. The Rosies get their gold. Nearly 30 women who toiled in America's factories during World War II, building the arsenal of democracy, and were stylized as Rosie the Riveter, were awarded the Congressional Gold Medal, highest civilian honor in the U.S.
Just all of the Rosies everywhere. We've gone down in history. Isn't that great? I love that.
May Cryer accepted on behalf of all the Rosies, some too frail to attend, others no longer with us. As a 17-year-old, she helped assemble B-17s and B-29s.
Up until 1941, it was a man's world. They didn't know how capable us women were, did they?
They found out. From Columbus, Georgia, word of the death of Medal of Honor winner Ralph Puckett Jr. In Korea in 1950, he used himself as bait to draw enemy fire so his company of Rangers could find and destroy the machine gunners. Suffering serious wounds in the process, Ralph Puckett Jr. was 97. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Communities around Wisconsin have more than doubled their property tax revaluation since 2020. Forward Analytics says local governments want to make sure property owners aren't underpaying their share in taxes if the market value on their homes is soaring while their assessed value stays flat. New worker safety regulations may have unintended consequences. The federal government now requires long-haul truckers to log their hours on wireless devices. But that could expose millions of trucks to hackers.
Those systems that never used to be connected to the internet or have any like wireless connections, they are becoming more and more connected, and that can introduce vulnerabilities.
Jake Jepson is the co-author of a study that shows how hackers can manipulate trucks remotely. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get a win in Cincinnati. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled to a 9-5 victory over the Reds. Another new face in the crew lineup, 23-year-old Blake Perkins, got the start in center field and drove in three runs. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, like, this kid loves baseball. His personality is so calm and cool, collected, and He watches the game as good as anyone.
NBA, the Bucks with a much-needed win, 104-91 over the Boston Celtics. Giannis Antetokounmpo had to undergo an MRI after limping off the court in the third quarter with pain in his left calf muscle. As for the game, there was only two shots from the free throw line, a new NBA record. Doc Rivers.
Man, 157 game time. My goodness. You can go to a game and still have dinner.
NFL, the Packers tailgate tour continues its drive around the state.
Some of the nonprofits, the doors about to close, and the Green Bay Packer Foundation helps them.
That's Packers Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies here in the overnight. Light winds in mid-40s by daybreak. On Thursday, showers, possibly even a thunderstorm around. We'll see gusty north to northwest winds between 15 and 25. Highs in the lower 60s. Right now, it's 51.
Thursday on Matt Nair On Air, why is it important that America stays with NATO? Retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson joins us at 10:33. Don't miss it.
On air, 1490 AM. Online, lacrosseeagle.com. And on the Civic Media app, this is Eagle 1490.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair On Air. So very happy to have you along with us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. You can call, text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Very excited about today.
Yeah.
We talked to Gunnar Raymer a couple of weeks ago, who works with Republican voters against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did talk to a Wisconsin voter a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking to Tom, who is also from Wisconsin. Yes. And has one of his testimonials up on their website. And it's very easy to find. It's RepublicanVotersAgainstTrump.com.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking to him at 10:50 to find out what it was, because as I understand it, he's been a lifelong Republican, has always voted for Republicans, and this time he is not going to vote for Donald Trump. So we'll talk to Tom a little bit and find out where his evolution came along and what it was that finally made him say, yeah, I can't do that anymore. And then now we are doing public service announcements every Wednesday.
Correct.
Dr. Lyerly, of course, is running in the 8th Congressional District. So she is no longer able to be with us, but she has turned the speculum over to Dr. Laura Hanks, who's going to join us now Wednesdays at 11:33. And if you ever have a question for Dr. Hanks, and it doesn't only have to be OBGYN related, it can be anything. If you have questions about measles or you name it.
Men, if you have questions that have to do with men's health.
Yes.
You can ask those as well.
Absolutely. You can call, you can text, you can also shoot an email to us at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane says at civicmedia.us. We're going to start things off, though, talking about, you think things are dysfunctional here in Wisconsin. Tennessee has been going crazy.
I mean, if there has never been a hold my beer moment.
It's just remarkable what's been going on in Tennessee the last, certainly, year and a half. I don't expect all of you to be up on this. This is, again, where we swim and read a lot about these things. But March 27th was the one-year anniversary of the Covenant School shooting in Tennessee. And since that time, concerned parents and students and other even Democratic lawmakers have been trying to get some measures passed for gun safety in Tennessee. And a vast majority of Tennesseans agree on some of these very basic measures, universal background checks, red flag laws.
Yep.
These aren't extreme. Nobody's coming to take your guns. And yet, what did the Tennessee Senate Republicans do yesterday?
I bet you it was an amazing and very logical idea.
They passed legislation allowing public school teachers, K through 12, and school staff to carry concealed handguns on school grounds. Despite numerous vocal protests from Covenant school families, the families who were affected by this and lost children and lost a spouse or a sister. Yep, the measure passed 26-5 in a vote that fell along party lines. Discussion over the bill stopped because there was a group of about 200 gun safety advocates who were voicing their opposition. Some were holding signs. Some of them snapped their fingers when they agreed. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately they got tossed out of there anyway.
Yeah.
He did allow a group of mothers of Covenant School students to stay, saying they did not cause a disruption. It's just so sad. Beth Gebhardt, whose son and daughter attended the Covenant School in Nashville, said her kids were there last spring as a gunman killed 3 9-year-olds and 3 staff members. She watched the proceedings Tuesday. This is from the Tennessean, with tears in her eyes. She staunchly opposes the bill. She said her kids, 9-year-old Ava and 12-year-old Hudson, survived the attack because of well-trained teachers and police officers doing their jobs. She says she can't imagine a teacher having to also deal with confronting a gunman, especially one who might have a far superior weapon as opposed to a handgun. As she said, a handgun will do nothing against an assault-style rifle. If what happened on March 27th had gone down the way that it did with a teacher armed with a handgun trying to put the gunman out, my kids would likely be dead.
I've got a lot of friends who are teachers, and not a single one of them thinks, whether it's Tennessee or any other state that tries to do this, they never think that putting guns in the hands of teachers, staff, janitors, anyone is going to help them at all. I mean, they're too busy. Like, their job is to protect the children, and that means usually locking themselves in the room with the children.
Yes.
And being the first one there in case the gunman comes through the door. Not to stalk down the hallways and try to take him down like it's Die Hard. This is ridiculous. And I asked you before, you know, in the face of all these parents who've lost children and family who've lost other members, like teachers, or how is it that they come to this notion that the best idea is just to say, well, if we just give them guns, problem solved? I mean, are you also going to pay for training, licensure, all of those things?
Oh, we'll get to that, because there will be some requirements. There aren't a lot of requirements for this.
I doubt there will be. I'm surprised.
And the other thing, too, don't we ask enough of our teachers the way it is? They're not only counselors and have to be mental health experts and nutrition experts.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have so many demands of our teachers at this point, and now we're going to put this extra burden and responsibility on them. I don't think that's fair.
I have an idea. You know what? You want to give a teacher a gun, the moment they have to carry a gun, you also have to pay them the average salary of your police officers, because that's what you're making them do. You're making them be an educator and a patrol person, and then they should be making the same amount of money as for both jobs.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you want to join the conversation, Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Thank you, first of all, for what you do for educating the voters. Second of all, when it comes to the red states, especially Tennessee, reality smacks these people in the face and breaks their nose, and they stand up and say, my nose isn't broken and you didn't smack me in the face. They don't deal in reality. They deal in fantasy. They deal in everything but reality and American justice. They fear American justice. They'll wrap their heads around why a man can compete against a woman, but they won't wrap their heads around why are people being mass murdered by weapons. They won't get into that. And why won't they get into it? Because it's part of their agenda. They are so warped and so sick. It's demonic how these people think. It's actually like the devil himself just controls them, because they have no concept of right and wrong. They don't. They can't think that way. It's beyond them. And the red states across the country are states of big disasters, whether it's mass murder, whether it's all kinds of problems. They have the worst. The blue states are a lot better across the board. But as far when it comes to guns, let's ask them, well, if that's how you deal with guns, maybe we should deal with alcoholism the same way. Let's give plenty of alcohol to alcoholics, and that'll solve alcoholism, right?
Yeah. You know what, Bill? And John Stewart said something very, very similar to what you just said, and this is going back a number of months when he still had his show on Apple Plus. But he was talking to an Oklahoma gun advocate and a lawmaker in Oklahoma, and he essentially, who doesn't want any restrictions, there should be no restrictions of any kind for the Second Amendment. Anybody, whether they have mental health problems, doesn't matter. You know, anyone should have access to a gun. And John Stewart said, if guns make us safer, and we have 400 million guns now in this country, if guns make us safer, when does that kick in?
Yeah.
When do we become safer? When are we going to start seeing the results of all of these weapons that we have and that we're so much safer because of it?
And something, thank you so much for calling,
Bill. Yes, always, Bill.
When you say red states, I'd like to clarify, those red states contain people like these teachers and these parents and these family members who agree with us, who agree with background checks and agree with, I want to say red state lawmakers, because they're the ones pushing these things through. I'm sure there are voters in Tennessee who agree with it.
Oh, yeah.
Who say, yes, absolutely. Give them four guns. Give them ankle guns. But we have to also remember there are people in Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Mississippi, Florida, all of these quote-unquote red states who do believe in these basic common sense gun reforms. They're not crazy, as Jane has said before and again, we're not coming for your guns. We just want to make it a little bit easier. And making it easier does not mean putting those guns in the hands of teachers who aren't trained. We got a text from the 920, says, highly trained police and military personnel struggle to take down shooters in real life combat encounters. How in God's name do we expect a teacher who will have substantially less training fare any better in these circumstances?
Look at what happened in Uvalde.
Yeah.
Look at what happened in Uvalde. How many law enforcement officers did they have there?
Lots.
There were more than 50.
Yeah. And they stood outside.
And they stood outside as those kids got slaughtered.
Yeah.
So you're right. And now we expect our teachers to step into this.
Yeah. It kind of goes to show how little you do respect teachers. You're like, you get to put your life in harm's way. They would easily put their lives in harm's way for their children.
Oh, yeah.
But what you're doing is you're making it so much worse. You're not giving them the resources. A gun isn't a resource.
Senator Paul Bailey, who is a Republican, who was the Senate sponsor of the bill, also confirmed teachers would not need to disclose that they are carrying.
Huh?
So now parents won't even know who's carrying.
Oh, forget that. Nope. I'm homeschooling my kid then.
Democratic Senator Charlene Oliver says we won't even know who is in the building with a gun.
Yeah.
This is going to create a whole bunch of anxiety. We're going to keep this discussion going. If you would like to join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I feel the earth move. Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking about what's been going on in Tennessee. Just as a reminder, the Covenant school shooting happened last March 27th, so we're just a little past the year anniversary of that, where 3 9-year-olds and 3 adults at that school were slaughtered. And now Tennessee Senate Republicans passed legislation yesterday allowing public K through 12 teachers and school staff to carry concealed handguns on school grounds. And we've also found out that the parents won't necessarily know who is carrying because they won't have to disclose that.
I don't really know how to respond to that. That just little morsel, because this isn't the first time we've seen them say, hey, arm the teachers. But now they're saying, yeah, you don't have to tell them either. Also, what happens if a teacher takes their gun off and puts it in their desk drawer and a kid gets into it? I mean, that happens all the time at home.
That happens with police officers leaving their weapons in public bathrooms. According to the bill, those who wish to carry must first get an enhanced handgun carry permit and complete annual training with law enforcement. Jeff Yarbrough, a senator from Nashville, a Democrat, questioned the limited nature of the training. He said, quote, we're sending people to 40 hours of training to learn how to handle a combat situation that law enforcement officers have trouble dealing with. And again, I go back to Uvalde.
Yeah.
And what happened in Uvalde. I do not think that it is the responsibility of teachers in our state who've taken the oath to educate our kids to now become law enforcement officers. And also, Bailey, who is one of the sponsor of this bill, what about liability? Because you mentioned that, Greg.
Yeah.
According to him, a teacher or a staff member who accidentally shoots someone on school grounds will be solely liable. But he pointed to the 3 elements in the bill that would prevent that scenario. Again, training for the person carrying the gun, a psychiatric evaluation, and a sign-off from local law enforcement.
Cool. More paperwork in the eyes of a tragedy. That's really what you need to do after you've accidentally discharged your weapon, injuring and or possibly killing someone, is to file paperwork and have to meet with people to make sure that you don't get. This is so stupid. This is so stupid. All to get around the idea of what's the one thing we don't want to do. We don't want to fund schools to make sure that they are the best, the safest. And does that mean metal detectors? I don't know. Does that mean armed guards? I don't know. Maybe. We had someone who just texted in that said, we do need the armed resource officers back in all schools. I don't agree with that.
Well, and I think there are like 600 schools in Tennessee that don't have school resource officers.
Yeah.
But now we're gonna skip over that. If that's where your starting point is, we're going to skip over that and then just go right to arming our teachers. Kathy from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so very much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Well, 2 things. One, no teacher wants to carry a gun. And if they do, it's the liability. Where do they keep it? Do they have to take it home at night? What happens if the kid gets into it? Does that mean if the teacher takes it home, now they are more apt to somebody who know where they live? They know they have a gun. Children who want to be comforted by their teacher if somebody comes in, it's not a good idea. I did hear also in Tennessee yesterday, I thought they also wanted to have assault weapons be able to be owned by kids 18. And I know there was a big uproar in the legislation that the people called for a roll call and the legislation walked out on them.
Yeah, they were.
I don't know how many.
Go ahead, Kathy. Sorry.
I was going to say, I don't know how many things we can say about Tennessee because we have open carry in Wisconsin. And I think back to Kyle Rittenhouse, who asked him how old he was when he was walking down those streets? No one.
As he passed
law enforcement. Yeah. Thank you so much, Kathy. Really appreciate your comments. And thank you so very much for listening. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mike from Muscadet is on the line. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call. My personal opinion, I think it's a good idea because that thought put in somebody's mind, knowing that there's a potential threat to them, not saying, okay, this is a front gun-free zone, come on in and shoot us. That knowing, people don't go to gun shows and shoot up the place. They don't shoot up places where they know there's a gun or a possibility of a gun. So if that's installed in that person's mind, that's the second thought that might be the deterrent. Because nothing else seems to work.
I'm going to bring up the incident of Gabby Gifford being gunned down. And there are police around when a congressperson is doing an event. A person came to that event with law enforcement around, and she was gunned down, shot in the head. There are people having guns is no deterrent for somebody who has the intention of going into a place and causing violence. They're not in a right head to make the decision of, well, they have guns there. That's going to keep me from doing it. I'm sorry. I do not accept that as a reason.
I just think, Mike, I don't think, like Greg said, I don't think that is the first thing in their mind. And I don't necessarily think that they're thinking about their own survival. They're thinking about how much damage and carnage they can leave regardless of the outcome. I don't know. And again, look at what happened in Uvalde. We had at least 50 officers who were armed, who would not take on that person who had an assault style weapon.
And if this person was in their right mind, why would they go to a place where there are children?
Don Brown on the line. Good morning, Don. Thanks for joining us. We only got about a minute and a half left, Don.
Yeah, just real quick, Jane and Greg. I'm a huge proponent of student resource officers. That would get rid of any idea of arming teachers or anybody else. And I can speak from personal experience because my daughter was in that classroom on December 2nd, 2019, where there was an incident in the very next classroom. And the student resource officer on duty handled that professionally and actually saved the young man's life. In response to the shooting. Yep. And it's been very successful in Waukesha schools. And also they proactively get to know the students and form very strong relations with them so we can get ahead of any incidents. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for your perspective, Don. I don't know where I come down on the school resource officers. I think Don has a point. I think the concern about having them is also valid. But arming teachers, this is not the way to fix this mess. This is not the way to fix the gun crisis in this country.
It's not going to keep a mentally ill person from walking into a school and causing it. The gun show comparison, we don't know. I mean, if I look up right now, I'll bet you any amount of money, I'll bet good money that I can find about an incident, someone going to a gun show and causing violence with a gun.
Well, and the other thing that I always take away when we have these discussions, you know, when the NRA has its convention,
yes,
you don't get to bring your guns in
CPAC
to the convention hall.
CPAC, no guns.
What does that tell us?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you all be that much safer if everyone is armed?
You have no problem with your rights being infringed then?
News is on the way next. Stay with us. You can always join the show. 855-75-CIVIC. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Feel the sky tumbling down, tumbling down. I just allude.
Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Inflation proving to be a tough customer. Consumer prices rose again last month.
President Biden says the new inflation report shows his administration has, quote, more to do to lower costs for hardworking families. Consumer prices rose 3.5% in March compared to a year ago. President Biden acknowledging prices are still too high for housing and groceries. Still the president trying to find some bright spots, saying there's progress when it comes to rising wages, higher incomes, and low unemployment. Karen Travers, ABC News. The White House.
On Tuesday, Arizona's Supreme Court did away with a woman's right to choose. On Wednesday, Republicans running the state's legislature wasted no time shutting down any discussion of repealing the newly revived law from 1864. Almost 2 years ago, Radindu Roychowdhury threw two Molotov cocktails into the Madison, Wisconsin office of an anti-abortion group. There was nobody there at the time. On Wednesday, he was sentenced to 7 years in federal prison. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin hasn't had a Department of Natural Resources secretary since Adam Payne stepped down in October. Governor Evers tells the Journal Sentinel he wants to make sure he makes the right choice. Also in October, the state Senate fired more than half the Natural Resources Board, which sets the agency's policies. Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 will likely come up at next week's permanent forum on indigenous issues in New York. Critics are worried about plans for an oil tunnel under Michigan's Straits of Mackinac.
If a leak happened within that tunnel, it would cause a catastrophic failure, pumping crude oil into the Straits and into the Great Lakes.
Wes Furlong is a lawyer with the Native American Rights Fund. Line 5 carries up to 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas every day. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I always wanted to be taller. All I wanted to do all day is play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in, and he was having a bad day. And he looks at, we're just playing a pickup game, and he goes, hey, guys, can I get a dunk? Somebody throws him the ball. And he runs and powers it down, and I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies here in the overnight. Light winds in mid-40s by daybreak. On Thursday, showers, possibly even a thunderstorm around. We'll see gusty north to northwest winds between 15 and 25. Highs in the lower 60s, currently 49 degrees.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Matt Nair on air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Our dial position is off to the right. Our conversation, right in the middle. You're soaring with Eagle 1490, the talk of La Crosse.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board to screen your calls. If you would like to join the show, you can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We are talking about a measure in Tennessee that would allow teachers to carry. This about a year after the Covenant School shooting in Nashville, in which 3 9-year-olds, the headmaster, a custodian, and a substitute teacher were all gunned down in a mass shooting. A large number of Tennessee parents, including some of the Covenant School parents, are very much against this idea of arming teachers.
Yeah.
And there would be 40 hours of training required. They would have to go through a psychological examination and then have someone from law enforcement sign off. This isn't a requirement. They're not requiring all teachers would be required to carry.
Yeah.
But they are giving the option. Is this a good idea? Is this going to solve the problem of mass shootings at our schools? 855-75-CIVIC. Rebecca from Burlington, thank you so much for your patience, Rebecca. Calvin tells me that you are not only a retired teacher, but you are a firearms instructor.
That is correct. I am both. And I've got, well, maybe because of those two things, a very different perspective than most people.
I'm absolutely, please share it.
Most of my teaching experience, and for the last 20 years, I was a school psychologist. So I've got kind of the whole spectrum here, was in the elementary level, starting with transition from early intervention to early childhood. So I've worked with families of students from age 2.5 through age 13, as well as earlier in my career teaching high school. So I've pretty much hit all of it.
Yep.
As far as keeping schools safer, the last district I worked for, and I would prefer to not name them on the air.
Sure.
Simply because an idiot will decide it's a good way to see if he can outthink the system.
Yeah.
What they did was they removed all the pretty little flowers in front of the windows and put in prickly bushes. Kids could still see out, but nobody could get close enough to actually see in to the windows. This was done with regular landscape maintenance. It took them 3 years. This year they were taking out this third and putting in the prickly stuff. The next year they took out another third, put in the prickly stuff. So now you have nobody up against the windows. When they redid the interiors of the schools, now they already had lockable fire doors, which everyone had to keep locked.
Mm-hmm.
They made sure that every classroom had lockers and cement walls for between the hallway and the classroom. And every room had a different colored carpet wedge. Any person or thing within that wedge could not be seen from the legally required door window, which would make it a safe area. They also set 3 systems for, and again, that was done under routine maintenance. This was not an extra cost.
Right.
They also set, when they redid their tech, the phone system allowed for everyone to do an all call. We were all instructed in doing an all call. Any staff member could do a shelter in place, which is stay wherever you are. That was used once. We had a student who had a heart attack. So that kept everybody out of the halls while the paramedic got the student out. The student survived, did well, came back to us. You could do a shelter in-house. Move around the school. Everything's fine, but don't go outside because something out there is weird. And a shelter storm. Self-explanatory. If there's a big storm coming in, where does your class go? students practiced those. If you'll notice, there was never an active shooter called because we did not want to freak out the kids.
Right.
That was all covered. It was interesting. The first day it was in, our principal insisted that it didn't cover the playground. Wrong, it did, but she made us all do an all call. Stay where you are. Parents heard this from the neighborhood, called the police because they thought we might have a real problem. Police came roaring up to see what was going on. Our principal had egg on her face. But it did prove that the system works.
So, Rebecca, if I can, Rebecca from Burlington is our guest, and we're talking about legislation in Tennessee that would allow teachers to carry concealed weapons. Rebecca, I'm assuming from what you shared that there are other ways to harden our schools, right, by design measures, by making some different safety measures, or are you in favor of arming teachers?
At certain times and places and ways, yes, but it would not be a teacher who has moment-to-moment responsibility for students. I don't want even, and I've known first grade teachers, kindergarten teachers who are fabulous with their firearm skills and usage as well as their defensive mindset. But if the worst happens, those kids are going to be crawling all over their teacher. No. You want to arm somebody who does not have moment-to-moment responsibility, a specialist, somebody in the custodial staff, somebody in administration. That's a different situation that can be discussed. But I do not approve of it for the little kids, for anyone in the elementary level, just because those kids, they need to be able to access their teacher.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Thank you so very much for calling, Rebecca, and thank you so much for providing your perspective. That's what it's all about, is having discussions about this, at least, and finding out what people's own experiences have been.
Yeah, especially coming from someone, a teacher, psychologist, firearms expert. I don't know, for me personally, about arming anybody in schools. That just still feels like possible danger and whatnot. But, I mean, I do understand what she's saying. That makes sense. You know, you don't want to – little kids need –
first and second graders?
They need a parent, and that parent is their teacher during the day.
Yes, they need a surrogate parent. Cam from Nina texting in. Cam from Nina, first-time listener. Thanks for joining us, Cam. I'm around 27. I'm telling you, guns in schools are a joke. I remember in middle school, a kid tried to build a bomb. It went off during lunch, but he built it wrong, so it was more of a loud pop. This is a mental health issue entirely, but I also wouldn't be against banning guns from the lead-fried brains of people who can't store them correctly. Another texter from the 920, a lot of these school shooters or mass shooters go into it with the intent of not coming out alive. That was kind of my point a little bit ago. Yeah. They either kill themselves or expect to be killed by the police.
Yeah, and I think Don Brown got back to us because he said he just wanted to add to my call that the Black Lives Matter march in Waukesha in June 2020 was a very successful event because the SROs were on duty and established regular communication with students and alumni via social media throughout the event. The marchers even allowed one SRO to address the crowd at the end of the event to celebrate peaceful civil disobedience. Waukesha students view the SROs as role models and friends who've established trust and respect with our youth. I love the fact that if that is the case, that the SRO is a successful measure in that school. I just know that there are a lot of other schools and students who have problems with their SROs being draconian and and all encompassing in their face. So it while I'm not a huge fan of SROs, I'm not against the idea of SROs. I'm against where they make children feel far more unsafe than they need to. The child should feel safe in school.
Yes.
They need to learn. They need to relax, make friends, have fun. An SRO can be a hampering to that. And I think we can all agree a person walking in with a gun definitely is. So we're at an impasse. And I said it before, this is about funding. And yes, schools should be protected. And there are, Rebecca said, and you mentioned, there are ways of fortifying schools. So if a person walks in with a weapon, We can lock it down and make it safe. But there are other things we can be doing as well as far as funding these schools to make them safer.
And well, and as Rebecca just pointed out, there are some not terribly complicated things that could be done as part of regular maintenance. Cam from Nina, we just read your text. Cam, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
I'm sorry, I ended up calling in too. I just the last caller, I'm sure that they are an expert in the fields that they are familiar with. And I can respect that, right? Like, there is no substitute for me just saying, well, I have my opinion versus your experience in participating and setting these systems up. I understand that. But I also think that in a way, I think that there is an element to this that's not being factored in. And that is it's the amount of mental gymnastics that can be done here that a kid is going to be able to subvert. It's not hard to get through electronically locked doors, which is a lot of the things that these schools are implementing in place of like actual locked key and locked doors. They can easily use devices to get around these. It's the same devices that people are using to get into Kias. I'm not going to name names. I own one of these devices myself. It's really cheap. You can do it yourself easily. It feels like to me that people are coming up with solutions for a problem that they know what the actual solution is, no firearms, and they're willing to shell out all this money for this and tell teachers you need to be the judge, jury, and executioner in the moment with 30 other children screaming in your ear, terrified, and you also aren't getting a pay raise. Screw you.
Cam, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You said you're 27, right?
Yep.
While I understand your statement at the beginning of your call saying you don't have the expertise, you do have a certain expertise that neither Jane nor I have, which is neither one of us went to school when school shootings were happening. You're 27 years old. Whether or not something happened at your school, you still lived with the specter over your head. So that does provide you with a much needed opinion and an expertise that I can't give. I've never done a school shooting drill. I've never gone to school thinking something could happen. Nowadays, that's the sad part. That is the all-encompassing scar of this country we live in. It doesn't matter the color, the age, the gender, anything. We all live in fear that sometime, some point, someone can walk up with a weapon. And the fact that it happens in schools is terrifying. But you do bring an opinion that needs to be heard as someone who has lived through that time. Thank you for calling, Cam. We really appreciate
it. We really do appreciate it. And thank you for listening, Cam. First time listener. Really appreciate that, too. Just a couple of minutes left. Sam from Madison has been waiting. Good morning, Sam. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, Jane and Greg. I'm not a teacher, but I was a camp counselor for a number of years at a Boy Scout camp up in Rhinelander. And 2 summers ago, we had a shooting scare. Some kid, as a prank, called in, but we didn't realize that till much later in the day. And this was like during breakfast, and we had to basically hurry hundreds of kids down into the basement. And the Oneida County Sheriff, they had like a very quick and insane response. They brought in a SWAT team and everything. But at a scout camp, like you deal with guns and whatnot, but that's always at like a shooting range.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And right. And to have guns in the hands of teachers, like even I'm a hunter, but like I get just nervous and all that whenever I'm handling a gun because it's a weapon.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want teachers doing that and having those even just sitting around. I would say it'd be a much better idea to just train law enforcement to the T. Because at least with the situation that I experienced, they had an incredible response. And even though it wasn't a real situation, if it had been real, it would have gone like
they were ready for
obviously
it.
Obviously, it's not a good right.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Sam. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but we're coming up against the break. And Lynn from Oconomowoc, thank you for calling. We're not going to be able to get to you. When we return, we're going to talk to Tom, a Wisconsin Republican voter against Trump. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare with right. yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Buck, Calvin is here to screen your calls. We're broadcasting live from downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, what used to be Twitter, or you can shoot us an email too at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. A couple of weeks ago, we talked to Gunnar Raymer, who is with the group called Republican Voters Against Trump. And we had the opportunity to talk to a couple of Wisconsin residents who have done testimonials for this organization. You may have seen it depending upon what you watch, but they show up on YouTube and they certainly are on my Twitter feed. And we're very grateful to have Tom from Wisconsin is joining us, who also did one of those testimonials for Republican Voters Against Trump. Good morning, Tom. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Good morning, Jane. Thank you for inviting me.
Tom, tell us, first of all, a little bit about, were you a lifelong Republican voter?
Well, I've been a lifelong conservative. My entire life I've believed in conservative politics and really not so much a political partisan when it comes to parties. When I was younger, both Democrat and Republican parties had conservatives and liberals in both parties. So I really didn't tend to lean on one particular party, but basically a conservative philosophy.
And did you vote for Donald Trump in 2016?
Well, I guess you could say I voted for him in 2016 and 2020. I actually voted against Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden.
And what was the final straw for you to do this testimonial for Republican Voters Against Trump?
Well, Trump had the opportunity when he was running for president and after he was elected president to make America great again, like he had promised. And unfortunately, his narcissism, I think, got the better of him, and Trump, in my opinion, is for Trump. But there are two major things that prohibit me from voting for Trump again. One is his comments about termination of parts of the Constitution after he lost the last election. The only thing that separates us from communist countries and dictatorships and banana republics is our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And because he lost the election, he then talked about terminating parts of the Constitution, basically promoting his lie that he won the election. So I could never vote again for someone who doesn't see our Constitution and our Bill of Rights as being sacred. Second thing is his, and I think it's more than my perception, his loyalty to Russia. I just see an overwhelming body of evidence that he places Russian interests above American interests. Most recently, he encouraged our Russia to attack our NATO allies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And NATO is the premier military arm that prevents Russian invasion of Europe. And for him to encourage our native, encourage Russia to attack our allies is just so irresponsible. And I hope it was not a serious comment, but I don't know how to take this man. He's a bully. He admires dictators. He admires Vladimir Putin and the Korean dictator Jong Un. I think he, in his own mind, would like to be one. Fortunately, we do have a constitution that precludes that from happening. But I'm tired as a conservative voter and a person who believes in our constitution. I'm tired of voting against people and voting for the lesser of evils. So this election, I'm going to vote for neither Biden nor Trump. I'm going to write in my candidates.
We are talking to Tom. I'm sorry, Tom. We're talking to Tom from Wisconsin. He has done a testimonial for Republican voters against Trump. We will provide a link in the show notes if you would like to go and look at some of those. Tom, I'm going to go back to something that you just said. Are you not concerned, though, if you do a write-in, that is essentially a throwaway, and that's a one more vote that could have gone to Joe Biden to make sure Donald Trump doesn't get reelected?
Well, I guess our perception is somewhat different, Jane. I see Donald Trump as a threat to our American freedoms, and I see Joe Biden is an even greater threat. Joe Biden, with his open borders and foreign policy, I think is even a greater threat. But I'm tired of voting for the lesser of evils. And I can give a number of examples where I think Biden's actions have demonstrated his unfitness for being president of the United States. I mean, I think it's outrageous that he is lecturing Israel on how to deal with terrorism when he himself is incapable of dealing with it. He's the only one in the Obama White House that was against going in and taking out Osama bin Laden. He's been wrong on every foreign policy position he's ever taken.
Well, Tom, I'm gonna stop you there just for a second, and I want to go back to what you were saying about NATO, because Donald Trump, even in his first administration, said that he wanted to withdraw from NATO. And at least say what you will about Joe Biden and the disagreements that you have with the current president, he will keep us in NATO. And we're gonna talk to retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson tomorrow on the show, specifically about the importance of NATO and what America leaving that would mean. We have news coming up next. Tom, thank you so very, very much for talking to us today. I genuinely appreciate your time and your perspective, and I hope we can call on you again before the election. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is the talk you can't ignore.
Even if you tried.
Why is everyone ignoring me?
Find out why all of La Crosse is talking about Eagle 1490.
Thursday on Nightlight, I welcome Ed the Diver. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Todd and his regular guest, Trigvi Olsen, were out and about with a simple theme. What makes Wisconsin great? For all the divisive topics and politics that we have on his show and on my show, we're doing that because we love living here. And we want to talk about the things that make Wisconsin great. And we did that over cheese curds and cold beer last night. Ooh. And I really appreciate
Todd. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.